Dear listeners of Radio Immaculata, we are very happy today to be in London for this Match for Life, and we are very pleased to have with us Obianuju Ekocha. She's a very great Nigerian pro-lifer, and she's now telling us about her great pro-life apostolate. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. It's really great to be interviewed by you, and I'm glad that we're all here once again for the March for Life. So I'm grateful for this interview.
And Yuju, can you tell our listeners of Radio Immaculata why you engaged in this beautiful apostolate pro-life? Why it is very important to be a pro-lifer today?
Right. Of course, I come from Nigeria, as you mentioned earlier, and growing up in Nigeria, I actually didn't realize that abortion was legal in any part of the world, because the country I come from, we don't have legal abortion. Abortion is not legal, because people understand, even from point of view of the culture, even from point of view of the law of the land, that an abortion means ending a human life. It's an attack, a direct attack on human life. So I came to this country, the United Kingdom, and I realized abortion was legal. So that children, babies in the womb, who have not even had the privilege of seeing the light of the day or the blessing of being born, are destroyed in the womb. They are killed in the womb legally. They are killed in hospitals. They are killed in clinics across this land. And not just that, that I found out also that the United Kingdom, as the government of the United Kingdom, pays in many ways for most of the abortions that happen in this country. This is a gross abuse of human rights. It is a gross abuse of human rights. So that's why when I came into the pro-life movement, I kind of resolved to give it my all, to put in as much effort as possible to work against this kind of injustice that is actually a stain upon this country. It's a stain upon this beautiful country, that the children, that babies can be killed in the womb if their mothers don't want them. So that's why I think everybody should be involved in the pro-life movement. I've done it in the UK. I've done it in other places. I've also done a lot of work in across different countries in Africa as an African myself. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to keep speaking up for those who are voiceless and who cannot speak for themselves.
Great. Thank you. And when did you join this great apostolate pro-life?
So I started pro-life work in 2000 and I'd say 2012, because in 2012 I had by chance written something that was then later known as the open letter to Melinda Gates. Melinda Gates is the wife of Bill Gates, and she was trying to do a huge contraception program targeting African countries. So I wrote a letter to her, an open letter that then went viral. So because of that open letter, I kind of had to then take a decision to come into the pro-life movement. There was an opportunity for me to come into the pro-life movement, and I've been doing this work since then actively. I've always been pro-life my whole life, but I really have been working for the protection of the unborn since 2012.
Is there any specific strategy that you have in order to campaign for the unborn children and to defend their life and their right to be born?
Yeah. So there are several things. I think there's not just the one way, to end the injustice. There are several ways. And I do use a lot of those means. So the first one is really just to speak the plain truth, is to engage people in conversations and try to get them to see the point, to see the reality and the truth, that you cannot have the kind of medical advancement we have in this country. You cannot have systems where women can get ultrasounds here. We know the baby in the womb is alive. You know, just try to engage them in that conversation, that if one is intellectually honest, you will see that abortion can it's incompatible with the current situation, as we are always speaking about human rights. Right, so I do a lot of online work. I'm always on Twitter. I'm always engaging people on Twitter. So that's the one way. Another way also is that I do give a lot of conferences and a lot of seminars and a lot of talks. Whenever I'm invited, I try to go to different forums, different platforms. I speak in universities. I speak at various pro-life conferences. I speak at the United Nations, which is very important. I have also once, quite recently, actually 2 months ago, spoken at the European Parliament. So wherever I'm invited to speak, I try to make myself available to go and speak on that platform and speak up and try to put it on record too, that yes, this is where we should be headed. That you know, civilization should be headed in the direction of protection of everybody's right to life. Not just people we see walking around, but even the babies in the womb. So these are some things that I have applied. We have tried to help in several countries in Africa to organize pro-life marches, pro-life conferences where it has never been had before. I have also done a lot of work with religious leaders, especially Catholic religious leaders. So I've worked a lot with many African bishops across different African Episcopal conferences. I've done some work with politicians as well. You know, in those same countries or different countries, I do a lot of work with people who affect policy, people who are passing laws and legislating for countries. So I've had the opportunity to work in different parliaments as well, just advising. So I do a lot of work on different levels, but there is still so much to be done. So
yes, and this is great, Yuju. What's your best argument to make people understand that life is precious, and that if we do not defend and protect the life of an unborn child, we cannot ever respect a human being? What's your best argument?
Right, again, my argument still rests on the medical advancements and medical science, that from everything we see now, especially in Western countries, where babies in the womb are being operated upon for treatment, you cannot at the same time be killing babies that are that small, you know, just because that you cannot see them. But yeah, doctors are having fetal surgery. There is all kinds of medical advancements. We see them on ultrasounds. You can do a 3D ultrasound and see the, you know, and see the sketches of the baby. You can do a 4D ultrasound and see the very detailed features of the babies. You cannot have all of that and still turn around and say that abortion is all right. In Africa, you know, many parts of Africa, in several places, many people do not actually have access to ultrasound. The ultrasound is only accessible by the rich. And yet, I know my people who will tell you it's a child in the womb, even though they haven't even seen the ultrasound, even though they don't have access to, you know, to sonograms so they can hear the baby's heartbeat. But then when you come to Western countries, you see people who have heard the baby's heartbeat, you see people who have seen the baby, you know, on ultrasound, and they're showing it to their friends, and yet they can turn around and say a woman should have the right to be able to choose. So you cannot have that and still have the kind of slaughter of unborn children as you do have it in all these Western countries. We have to bring an end to the injustice. And sometimes people tell me, well, the law has already been passed, there's not much that can be done other than maybe little protections that we may be able to add. But I don't think so. You know, I'm a black person, and I always like to go back to what happened during the time of slavery. We know that slavery was really rooted in society. It was rooted in law. It was protected by the courts, in different Western countries. It was protected by different parliaments across the Western, across the Western world. And yet, one day, slavery was abolished. In the British Parliament, one day, a law was passed to make it illegal to sell slaves. The abolition of slavery, it has happened before. The abolition of that which is unjust can happen. And it can happen when people refuse to accept injustice. And that's why I am calling out as a woman, as a black person, as a person living in this United Kingdom, I am calling out to people, anyone who can hear me, to look at the fact of what happened, 220 years ago, 250 years ago, that the abolitionists were able to get the voices of the black people heard. We have to do the same for unborn children. So much so, we have to do the same. We cannot accept injustice. If there is injustice, we must fight against it until the parliaments get it right, until the law is brought back to what it is meant to be, until justice is maintained. And justice will only be maintained when every human being has the right to life. And the right to life must include the human beings, the smallest human beings in the womb.
Yes. This is great, Yuju. As you just mentioned, the main difficulty to accept that abortion is always bad, because it is killing an innocent life.
Yes.
The main objection to this is that we are despising the women. We are not considering the right of the mother to choose. Is there a right of the woman to choose? Is there a right of an innocent person?
There should not be a right for a woman to be able to choose to kill a child, any more than there should be a right for any white person to be able to own me because I am black. You see, there is no soft version of it. You cannot have the right to kill another human being, an innocent human being, a child in the womb. So what must happen imperatively is that this society has to become much more compassionate enough to the point that we can offer women the real choice of keeping their baby. You know, it's an insult, I think, to tell women that for them to be able to achieve success and for them to be equal to men and for them to be free, they have to have this right, this horrible right, you know, that is actually wrong if you look at it. The right which is wrong, to kill their children in their wombs. It's a terrible thing, and it's a lie that has been told to women for way too many years. And women should know that, you know, what the best way to go is protection of their children, even if that baby, they cannot keep the baby due to their own circumstances. But we have to be this society that never ever has to offer a woman as an exit or as an answer the killing of her unborn child. It shouldn't be. And no, women shouldn't have the right. Men shouldn't have the right. No human being should have the right to kill an unborn child.
Yes.
And certainly no doctor should ever be in that position where they're having to kill rather than heal anyway. Because there are so many people who are involved in an abortion. It's not just the woman. It's the doctor who is going to do the abortion. It's the nurse who is going to be assisting in this abortion. It's the people who are working in the abortion clinics. All these people conspire together to kill this one child, because it's never... abortion is never really private business. They want to treat it like it's some kind of private thing, but it's never really private business. It's something that involves an entire community to kill a child. In the same way, we're just calling out to society that we come together and protect every one of these children.
Yes, this is great. Yuju, I think, are you a Christian?
Yes, I'm Catholic.
You are Catholic, great. And how your faith supports you in this beautiful apostolate, pro-life apostolate?
Yeah, so of course, there are many pro-life people who are not Christian, that I would say outright, but then I am so grateful that I have my faith and I have, you know, my life as a Catholic, which has taken my pro-life activism to the point of ministry. So there are many pro-life activists out there. I could just be a pro-life activist, but I'm not. I am a pro-life missionary.
Great.
For me, this is a vocation. For me, this is a ministry. It's a mission. So that I have faith is having that, I think, the one thing that is most important in this work is that knowing that I don't wake up one day and I'm discouraged, knowing that I do this not just for the babies, yes, for the babies, for the mothers, but not just that. I'm doing it for the sake of God. I'm doing it for the sake of God's creation. And also, even on days that I don't feel like doing it because I'm tired or I'm not in the mood, or it's always that I kneel down, I pray, and I know that I have to keep with the mission because it's God's work and God's work has to be done. So I am grateful for my faith. I am grateful that I can take recourse in my faith. I'm grateful that I can take recourse in the sacraments and get energized and get strengthened on any given day that I go to the sacraments and I receive communion, and I know that I have just that more strength to keep going. Don't give up. But also, there is something really important, Father, that I like to tell people. In this our work, we have a lot of enemies. Even if you don't want to have enemies, the people who are in support of abortion see us as enemies. They treat us as enemies. They talk about us as enemies. So we do have real enemies in this. Whether we are Christian or not, it doesn't matter. You're against abortion. You already have invited into your life and into your path the enemies and the opponents who are against the work that we're doing. Now, that I am Christian means that I have an obligation to love my enemies, to love my opponents, even at a time when the attack gets so much. There is one thing that holds me back. to not fall back to unnecessary insults or to, you know, heading out to destroy them, you know, as they do us. It's my faith. It is my faith that makes me also realize at every stage of this work that I have an obligation to, yes, do the pro-life work, but even as I do the pro-life work, I also have an obligation to love these people who are also God's children and who are in a place of such darkness and misunderstanding. But they just don't know what they're doing. So, it's the faith that keeps me there at that point of love, that I'm compelled to love even when I don't feel like. So it's really the faith that keeps me going, and the practice of faith and the just having to go back to Jesus and the cross of Jesus at every given point in this mission is what really helps me put it and keep it all together.
Great. Yuju, you are a missionary of life, as you said, with your reason, with your faith, your prayer, and helping you defend this great gift that we have from God. And it's right for everyone to be born. And for this, we support you, we pray for you. And we, of course, as you said, the best testimony that we give to everyone is our love for everyone. The way we forgive, the way we are able to be compassionate,
yes,
especially for those people entrapped,
yes,
by this sin, this crime of abortion. We are there not to judge anyone, but to support them, to pray for them, to intercede for them, and to be always compassionate. And this is a great news for everyone. Thank you for your apostolate, for your great witness, and God bless you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for having me today and interviewing me. It's been great. Thank you.
Bless you.
Bye.